Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Revelation 21, that's kind of at the back of the book. Now, we've been looking at the subject of fear, and I think it's an important subject to be addressing at this time in the history of the world, because the earth right now is sick with fear. The church shouldn't be, but a lot of people in the church are, and there's a reason for it. And times don't even have to be hard or tough for people in the church to get in fear, because there's other factors that have to do with your peace and your joy, amen, and they work no matter what's going on. No matter what's going on in the world, it works. It'll give you peace in the midst of the worst storm. It'll give you joy when you have no reason to even smile. Amen? Amen. Now, let me read this just for a moment. Go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha Omega, the beginning and end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But now notice this. "But the fearful and unbelieving," now notice those two words, and now the others are "the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Everybody say second death. That's eternal separation from God. Now, but notice this. The first two, it says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving." Whoa. Amen. Now, we know by the Word of God that the sin unique to the new covenant is the sin of unbelief. You still struggle with the weaknesses of your life, not because those weaknesses are so strong, but because of your unwillingness to embrace the Word of God, bring the power of it into your life, and be delivered from it. See, the people don't like to hear that, because in order to respond to that, or in order to submit to it, you got to get rid of your victim status. So that's why they don't like it. Because if you really do get free, you can't be a victim no more. Come on, church. And this whole society has literally evolved into a victim society. Now, there's always people that rise to the top, champions, people that, you know, in the midst of some of the worst circumstances, I guess it's just the human spirit, the human desire to succeed at something. But there's something greater than that in the earth than the ego ambition of humanity, and that is the will of God in His family. In God's family, not in the human family, in God's family. The will of God in the human family is that all would be born again and come into the kingdom of God. That all would be saved and come into the kingdom. But the will of God for His family on the earth is that you be an overcomer in all things. In your health, in your finances, in your marriage, with your kids, everything about life. That you would have success. We use the scripture in 3 John there for our offering. Beloved, I wish above all things. Amen. That you be in health and prosper even as thy soul prosper. Listen, God's will for you is not bad. Let me say that again for you. God's will for you is not bad. There's nothing bad in it. Let me just say this. I've served God for 40 years continually. For 40 years, continually. Before that, I was not serving God for about a 12 to 13 year period. I served God from the time I was 6 till the time I was about 13 years old. So there's another 6 or 7 years. So I've served God about 47, 48 years of my life. And whenever I served God, there was nothing ever presented to me or given to me or I was asked to submit to that was bad. Nothing. 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 Some of it may have been labor or laborious. Some of it may have not been easy for me to begin or to step into, but God is there to help you in everything He tells you to do. He will not tell you to do something you can do. That's where fear comes in. That's where fear finds its greatest foothold. in understanding that if you're going to serve God and step out in His will, you will step out into things unable for you to do as a human being or as a person. You will live in a realm in which without God, you cannot live in that realm. And you take God out of my life right now, I don't even make it home. I won't even have a home. Amen? Everything about my life right now at age 67, fixing to turn 68 in January, is totally and 100% dependent upon my God. Amen? And that's what I like that. It's taken me a while to get there. It's taken me quite a while. But in that place, I have peace, I have joy, I have future, I have satisfaction. Sure, I fight battles, but here's the thing. I have learned the faithfulness of God and the ability of God to keep you on that path of righteousness and the things He set for you on that path of righteousness is ever so worth the journey and what you have to go through to make it. Amen? Now notice, in the Passion Bible, it read kind of, I was studying it there in the Passion, it said something. Let me read it there in verse 6. Then He said to me, "It has been accomplished. For I am the Alpha and the Tava." That's the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet there. "The beginning, the end. I will give water to all that are thirsty." This is the Passion Bible. "My gracious gift, they will continually drink from the fountain of living water. The conquering ones will inherit these gifts from me. I will continue to be their God, and they will... God, and they will continue being children for me. But as for the cowardly, the faithless," and then it begins to name all that others. I want to deal with those first two. When Lee and I first went into ministry, there were two couples that came to us. I probably told this story before, and really, they're not even in the picture anymore. They're gone, dead. But they did not encourage us. They sat us down because of their concern for us and told us why we would be total failures in ministry. Yeah. Now, they were in ministry. Remember that? They were in ministry and looked at us across our dinner table, breaking bread with them, and said, "You will never make it. You will never make it. You will never make a dime. You will never preach a meal." I mean, just, and I'm like, wow. They were cowardly. You say, why? Even the ministry they had, they lost and went into the world system and got careers in the world system and died premature deaths. Actually, pretty bad deaths. You say, why? You can't play with this stuff. You can't play around with this. Listen, the devil knows how powerful the name of Jesus is. The devil knows how powerful the Word of God is. The devil knows how powerful the Holy Ghost is. And he will try to trip you up. He'll try to make you do stupid things. He'll do anything he can do to try to keep you from keeping your foot on his neck. Because that's where it fits. It don't fit anywhere else but on his neck. Because that's where Jesus left it. Amen? And we're in Him. So you need to make a decision in your own life, especially at this point in time, that whatever it is that is restricting you in your walk with God, you're going to address that as something fearful in your life, as something you've got to get rid of, that you've got to apply faith to, and you've got to make a decision. No matter what it costs me, I've got to enter into God's full will for my life. Amen? Now, if you think you've got a choice at this late date in history, I listened to Joe today, Joe Morris. I don't know how many of you heard his telecast he does on Wednesdays. I listen to it every Wednesday. But he made a statement. He said there's a lot of people that's come to him and said, "Well, now, you know, Joe, you can take all of these scriptures that you use about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church, and a lot of that was already fulfilled in this." And I like what he said. He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "Yes, there were fulfillments of prophecies that were made about the second coming and about the end times, but there has never been a compressed time on the earth in which they've all come to pass. Those were all fragmented things that happened in the nation of Israel or when the gospel was first being preached that happened at particular times, but then all of the prophetic things that they meant have never taken place until now. And now they're happening right in front of our face." And a lot of people saying, "Well, we don't know. We don't know." There's a lot of people who are speculating that this ain't it. This is it. I'm telling you, this is it. You say, "How do you know?" I know it by the Spirit. And people that I trust know it by the Spirit. Amen? And so this is a time in which many of the choices that we had even a decade ago, they're not even relevant today. You've got to make a decision. This is it. This is it. I better pull out all the stops right now where when it comes to serving God. Whatever I've been holding back on, I can't hold back on anymore. I've got to do it. Now, so that brings us to the subject of the fear of the will of God. Now, go to Romans real quick. This might help you tonight. Romans 12, very familiar scripture. We use it all the time in many different subjects, studying faith, studying renewing of the minds. You know, y'all know we study this scripture all the time. But now notice it in this light. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Anybody know? Everybody say present. That's what praise and worship will help you to do. That's what prayer will help you to do. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that ye may prove or live out what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, God begins to reveal His will to you when you get saved. Amen. Now, notice the first word is what? Good. Everybody say good. So when you first start hearing the gospel, you get born again, and you begin to hear things like, well, you know, they say I should pray. That's good. I see in the Word of God, the pastor got up and taught that I should tithe and offer. That's good. That's good. Everybody say, that's good. I see here that I should join a church, that I should not forsake the assembling of myself together, even more so as the day grows in. That's good. Everybody say, that's good. Then you look a little further and say, well, I should renew my mind. I should do it. All these things that God puts are good, good, good. Everybody say good, good, good. But you're coming out of a family or a system or a species into another. So there's resistance against you. There's resistance against you praying. There's resistance against you studying the Word. There's resistance against you. And the greatest resistance ever released on the earth to people praying, coming to church, tithing and offering, and finding the will of God has been released now. You are a remnant of people sitting here on a Wednesday night where most churches don't even have Wednesday night service anymore. And most pastors are just doing their best to psychologically soothe their congregations so that they won't leave. Because they're dependent upon a congregation for their own success. Amen? So I found out in my life, as I begin to learn the Word of God, as I begin to be restored, God rescued me, I begin to find out these things are good. And if I will put out the effort, I can accept it. It's not too hard for me. I found it wasn't too hard for me to tithe. I just had to have the faith to have the courage enough to do it. Can I get a better amen? I found out it was good and it was acceptable for me to be a part of a church. Amen? See, some of you got to understand this because this is a process that you live out. It's once you get and figure out what is good and make a decision, I'm going to resist the resistance against me. I'm going to fight the fight that is being brought to me. And I'm coming out of this world system. I'm coming out of the way it thinks. I'm coming out of the way it acts. And I'm coming into the kingdom of God. And I'm discovering what is good. I've discovered prayer is good. Everybody say prayer is good. But you had to find that out. You're finding out it's good to study the Word and renew your mind if you'll begin to do it. You have to labor to come out. A lot of people don't realize that. You have to labor to come. God put me in a position in my life where I didn't have anything else to do. He wouldn't let me work at a job. He wouldn't let me do this, do that. He told me, you got to go. So everything I had to do was the good will of God for me coming out of all of this backslidden condition, and I had to put a lot of effort into it. The confession, loyalty to a church or to a vision, with my money, everything had to be submitted unto God and sifted through the Word so that His will would rise to the surface. Amen. Let me say this. You may not like me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I am not dissatisfied with anything in my life. I'm really, she lives with me. I'm really, I'm really full of a lot of joy, and I've even made this statement lately. I don't know if I've ever been so happy. Now, you say, now, Pastor, we might need to get you checked out. You've been in ministry 40 years, and you're 67 years old, and now you've got a church of a couple of hundred, 300 or 400 people, 200 or 300 people, and you know, a few countries that you work in. You really think you've done something in the kingdom? I don't even think about that. You say, why? Because that's none of my business. You say, what do you mean that's none of your business? Aren't you the pastor of the church? That's not what I'm talking about. Because as long as I stay in the will of God, the results and the effectiveness of what I'm doing is not on me, it's on Him. Come on, church. So you say, well, you ain't even got a building. Well, not yet. But you hide and watch. Everything anybody's ever said you're not going to do or can't do, just like those people that sat in our home and said you'll never go into the ministry, we have proved them 100% wrong. We're still alive. We're still preaching the gospel on more platforms than we've ever had, in more nations than we've ever had. We don't owe anybody any money. We're blessed of the Lord and looking at building a multi-million dollar campus in order to reach the world for Jesus. Amen. Now see, that's getting out of the acceptable and into the perfect. That's getting out of the acceptable and into the perfect. Amen. It wasn't the will of God for Lee and I to get married and live 10 years together and divorce. I'm just telling you like it is. What was the will of God? For us to stay together. For us to love each other. For us to grow in that love. See, I'm talking about marriage. There are all kinds of efforts in life that are part of, amen, the will of God for your life. And a lot of people sit back waiting for it to come into their life before they move forward. That doesn't happen that way. You have to move forward for it to come into your life. If you sit there, you will sit there and it will all pass you by. Amen? The will of God should be so intense in your life that everything else, you've got so many choices to go other ways and do other directions that you've got to stay in prayer to make sure you're doing the exact thing God wants you to do. See, what I'm doing tonight is the exact thing God wants me to do. Amen? Could you be doing something else? I could be doing other things that would look righteous and may even look like it's on the path of righteousness for my life. I could be traveling. I could be in another church preaching. I could be in another nation preaching. We got invitations all over the world. But that's not where God wants me on December the 6th, 2023. He wants me at Island Church. His church, amen, that He's made me under shepherd of. He wants me here doing what? Feeding the sheep the Word of God. That is my assignment here, is to give you a healthy diet of the Word of God so that you can prove, live out, or manifest what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And the first time you begin to think about the will of God, the first thing that tries to rise up is what? Fear. How many times in the Bible was God dealing with somebody about doing something? Mary. And the first thing the angel had to do was say what? Fear not, Mary. Fear not. Gideon had to tell him, fear not. Moses had to tell him, fear not. I'm telling you, all of them. Why? It's an awesome thing to step into life on planet Earth without your plan waiting on His plan. Amen? Some of you, in the past 3 or 4 years, you've gone through some things kind of like Abraham. You had to just step out in faith. Really not knowing where you were going. Amen. One step after the next. And every time you put your foot down, there was something solid for you to put it on. Come on, church. That shows you you're somewhere in that good and acceptable and perfect way. That shows you you're somewhere right in there. You say, well, how do you know? How do you have any inkling that you could even be near something like that? Because of the grace of God that's on us. If it wasn't for God's grace, He'd have killed us all with COVID, or He'd have killed us all with something else. He'd have done something to stop what is going on here because He knows how dangerous this is to Him. But He can't do it. You say, why? Grace of God. Well, what about when we make mistakes? We've got His mercy. and that's new every morning. Amen? Ooh, go to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Everybody say, I'm not afraid of the will of God. And when I find the will of God, I will not be afraid. Amen. You know, when I was praying about, I'd travel and you know, I mean, my life was basically hotels and meetings and prayer and intercession and airplanes. You know, that was it. I was in a meeting one time at a big church, all these big preachers, and they all had their own jets, and somebody asked me, well, what kind of jet do you have? I said, I got a 737. They looked at me, a 737? How did you get a 737? I said, well, you know, here's the deal. I really don't have it, but I've paid for it already. Southwest Airlines, I've paid them enough money where I own one of those jets. That's how much I used to fly on Southwest, amen. But, you know, God began to deal with me. I had prayer logs, you know, that I would write. I would write Island Church on top of a page of a prayer log and write notes and then tear them out and throw them in the trash. Leave them in the hotel room, you know. So God was dealing with me about another what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. And so I was, you listen, many times I was willing to do anything else. I mean anything. I told God, I'll go to Africa, South America. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll build a church. I'll be the janitor of a church. I don't care. Anywhere, any place but Galveston, Texas. Any place. Please, Lord. We had done almost a decade of work in Hawaii. We had planted the seed. Why not Waianae? Why not Makaha? Nanakuli? Miley? Why not? No. And so, years would go by, another year would go by, and I'd be somewhere praying, interceding. We'd be in some hot meeting somewhere. The Spirit of God would start dealing with my heart. I'd write it down again, Island Church. I know I did it at least three times. Wrote it in a prayer log. Amen? And then, all of a sudden, it's amazing how when you stay under grace, grace begins. You begin to see the change in yourself. We're extremely busy. We had bought a building. Our staff was extremely busy. We did 300 meetings a year for a decade. You have no idea what that. You'd have to have the grace to do it to even understand it. And, we had certain ways of thinking in our minds, and all of a sudden it began to get challenged. Everything that we thought about some of the certain subjects, about having children, about different things, about pastoring church, about all of this began to become what I call subject to change. You begin to feel a stirring in your spirit, a dissatisfaction when you're at the top of your game, when everything is going the best it could go, and you're in faith, and you're living holy, and you're living righteous, you got money in the bank, but you just feel like, ugh. Remember, I went to the doctor to see if something wrong with me. Dr. Frinkle, he checked me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with you, boy. I knew what it was. I knew what it was. How do you dismantle a ministry that you took 18 years to build? How do you do that? And also do it under a threat that if you do it and obey God, there'll be a lot of people in your company that are not going to agree with you and are going to be very hostile to it. I knew that for 5 years. What do? You come to the point in which you have to yield to God. And it was such an amazing there's no way to describe how God did all of that. There's no way. It was so supernatural. It was unbelievable. I mean, just to look back at it, you'd think, how did that happen? How did that happen? And now you look back at it 20-something years later and see what's going on. I told somebody the other day, we were walking, you know, I was walking, coming out of my office, coming up the hall. Nobody was here but me. I'd been here studying and praying. And I just stopped at the door and stepped inside the door. And it's like all at once, I had a revelation of all the glory that's been in this building all at one time. Ever since we moved in here in late 2006, all the meetings, all the glory, all the money, all the people. I mean, there's been thousands that have come through here. All the conferences, all the ministers that have stood in the pulpits, and I just begin to just go. When you see it on that level, you go, oh my God, You see it like this, you walk in this, you don't think, well, that ain't much. But when you see it on that level, you go, oh my goodness, look what the Lord has done. It's been His will, it's been His way, it's been His ability, it's been His grace when we've been in faith, it's been His mercy. We've come through storms, we've come through all kinds of drama, and here we are, poised to do the best and the biggest that we've ever done. Nationally and internationally. Sitting right now on go, sitting in the starting blocks. Wow. Now notice, chapter 4, Hebrews. Let's wind up with this tonight. I got about 10 minutes. Now notice this. This is kind of reverse psychology here. Let us therefore fear. Now notice, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should come up short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Here's the key. You can sit in the chair all you want and hear everything I say, and it will not do you one bit of good. Period. Nothing. Until you do something about it. Till you do something about it. This is not medicine. I think that's the problem that a lot of people equate religion to medicine. Need a good shot at Jesus. Wish you could get one. I'd take one right now. No, this isn't medicine. You don't feel bad and they give you some substance to make you feel better. It's not medicine. This is faith. This is faith. This is the ability not to look into the natural realm, but to look into the spirit realm and to make your decisions based on that. Woohoo! Let me say that again. It's an ability to look into this realm, the natural realm, and ignore it. Okay, you got chapter and verse for that? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, for we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, are subject to change, but the things that are unseen are eternal, are forever settled in heaven. Amen. Now notice, they didn't mix it with faith. There's an us, everybody say there's an us, and there's a them. And you're the one that decides what category you fall into, whether an us or a them. And I do everything I can do to help people, and I've done it for all these years that I've been in ministry, and it's still people get weird. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's human nature is what it is. That's why we have to strive for the divine nature, because human nature falls short every time. Now notice. It says, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, without getting preaching a series on that, when God said the seventh day He rested, amen? He's been in that rest since then. Did you get that? That means everything that God's done from the time that man fell in the garden till this very second, He had already planned it. He had already positioned the people to do it. He had already got everything ready. He had implemented it, and it's happened from the foundation of the earth. And He's still sitting in heaven. And He ain't got up off the throne yet. And Jesus is still seated at His right hand till the Father says to Him, go get your church. Amen? And then He won't come to the earth. He'll just come in the clouds and receive us up into His glory. But in the meantime, what He's doing now, He's already planned. He's already made provision for it. The plan's already there. We don't have to sweat it. All we have to do is to stay current on that path of righteousness. And if we'll do that, we'll stay in His rest. If we'll stay in His rest, we'll stay at peace. We'll stay full of joy and we'll be happy. That's no matter where you're at, no matter what God called you to do, no matter how big it might. I marvel at these people like Egan Falk, Paul Chase, Christopher Alam, Guinea Anderson, These people that just abandon life for Christ. I mean, we all do that, and I've attempted to do that. When you leave your nation and you establish life in a much less nation, you can't do that without a call from God. You say, why? Because I've watched missionaries for 40 years all over the world, and those that are full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Word, they get something done. They get the power of God in manifest. And those that aren't, the traditional and the religious and the denominational, they die on the field. Yeah. Die. Doing a little bit of benevolent work, they die on the field. Because most of them are there by inspiration and not by call. That's so sad. But those that go by call, oh my goodness. You hear of how they started and how hard it was and how difficult just even to live in the land. But then next, a little breakthrough here and a little breakthrough. And then you build something and something gets going. And then you get it to a certain point. You spend 20, 30 years and it all burns to the ground. And you start all over. It's happened to every one of them I know. It's amazing how God does that. He doesn't burn it to the ground. It's the devil that just keeps fighting and fighting and fighting. But the good news is they're still there. They're still winning. They're still winning souls. And the ministries are expanding. You say, why? Because it takes great faith and a call from God to leave your life and give it to God. There's a grace for that. There's a rest. And that rest comes with you understanding as God reveals His Word to you, He is fulfilling a promise that He made to show you the way and to be your way. Amen? I got so many illustrations in my mind, but if I don't stick with the Word, we'll be here all night. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest from the seventh day from all of His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into My rest. Therefore, seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? And what did unbelief do to them? Every time they got into unbelief, they went into sin, and because they were under the old covenant, judgment. Oh my goodness, the ground would open up and eat 30,000 of them at a time. Or a plague would go through the camp and take out 100,000 people at a time. Could you imagine 100,000 dead corpses? Well, they had a little drama in the church there and had a little situation going on. A problem had taken place. Moses had come down off the mount. One guy stood up and stood for God, took a spear and killed about 800 people right in front of everybody. He said, there you go. Well, straightened up the church real quick. Amen? I call Israel the church. He was the first mega church pastor. Amen? But that was the judgment of God. God doesn't do that anymore. You live in the acceptable year of the Lord. When you start stepping back from Him, that's what happens. God knows, I don't have to do anything to them. I don't have to hurt them in any way. There's no capacity in me to hurt them because I have already sat down. I am resting from my plans and from my purposes, and there is no plans or purposes in my plans or purposes all the way to the white throne judgment to hurt, to harm, or to cause any kind of pain. Except for those who reject me. So acceptance and moving towards God makes you better. Stepping away from God makes it worse, no matter what it may be. Amen? Now, let me close with this. We're almost finished. Seeing therefore, let me read verse 6 again. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a term, as it said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Now, what are your works? Your efforts? man is left in his fallen state with the main motivational force of iniquity, which is the motivation in the spirit of the human being to break divine law. Divine law. Divine law is revealed in the Ten Commandments. I hear they're rewriting those. Did y'all hear that today? Yesterday I heard that on the news. Yeah, they're rewriting the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got this new religion coming, going to encompass the whole world. They're going to have new Ten Commandments for it. Anyway, you know, if you want that, you can have it, but I don't. I like the other ones. Those Ten Commandments that God gave under the Old Covenant would keep them exempt from the judgment of God, as long as they obeyed those commandments. When they broke those commandments, it's not like God. See, the verbiage of the Hebrew language in the Old Covenant is permissive. You say, what do you mean? It's not that God does it. He just steps back. Now, let me say this. If you got a people that's of a real God, and that God has a real adversary, and that God steps back from those people, does that God have to do anything to those people? Or does that adversary do it? Of course that adversary does it. He knows to hurt that guy, I got to hurt these. See, that's what the enemy thinks about you. He hates God. He hates him. He hates him for creating him. He hates him for the position he gave him. And he hates him because he's fallen. He hates God. Amen. He wants to be preeminent over God. Literally, if you study Satan, if you study Lucifer, he wanted to take the place of Jesus. He said, I want to ascend to the sides of the north and to the throne of God to be like unto the Most High. Well, who's the Most High? That's Jesus. He wanted the position of the Word of God. Amen. But then God, or Jesus, the Word of God, threw him out of heaven. Now, he hits the earth in that iniquitous state, fools man. That iniquity enters into man and becomes the force in the ego of man and becomes the force in the ambition of man. So man is separated from. So what does man want to do? He wants to do the same thing his Lord does. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. So when men get power in the earth that are not of God, what do they want to do? They want to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, Pastor, come on. We're more civilized than that. Go look at the news tonight. We're doing it wholesale now, on every level. Stealing, killing, destroying. There's only one light in the midst of all this darkness, and that's in Christ. That's in Jesus. And there is a will for you. Remember what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. Save yourself. He's already done the work. He's already made the plan, and he's already given you salvation. Now take salvation and the door that it opens and the tools and weapons it supplies and save yourself from COVID and whatever else is coming, from the economic collapse and whatever else is coming, from the wars and the rumors of wars and whatever else is coming, and from the disasters of the earth and whatever else is coming, and for all the toxin of the air and the food and the water and whatever else. Save yourself. Save yourself. Save yourself. It's amazing. In confession, praying over our health, speaking the Word of God, how different scriptures, different phrases, and I use the word very sparingly, but it is a good word to use, have evolved in our vocabulary, such as praying over our food. See, we take that so for granted. Don't bless the food. Good God, good meat, good food, let's eat. The Bible says our food is sanctified with the Word of God in prayer. Now, I don't mean as you do something, I can eat all the ice cream I want. You can't be stupid. It's amazing how people take a stupid path sometimes. Amen? But no. Whatever. You say, they're putting stuff in the food. Were they never not? The fertilizers? The pesticides. I mean, I could tell you some farming practices and you think they do that, you'd quit eating that. You say, what do you mean? Our food is sanctified. It doesn't affect us. Like if there's things in there we don't know about, preservatives that have harm, if they put stuff in, doesn't matter. Our food is sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. And then it says in the Great Commission, if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm us. Do you constantly confess that over yourself? Do you confess that over your food? Do you speak that? We do. We constantly speak that and confess that. It's so much a part of us, we don't even really consciously do it. It's subconscious we do it so much. One of the ways you save yourself from a wicked and untoward generation. Amen? So, in the months, let's do it like this. The days, the weeks, and the months that we have ahead of us, allow the Spirit of God to sift you. Not the devil. Remember Peter come up behind Jesus one time. Jesus had made some statements and Peter kind of rebuked him. He turned around and said, you know, Peter, the devil has tried to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Amen. You know what he was talking about? He was prophesying his denials, what he's doing. And he was saying, he was already telling, Peter didn't hear him, but he was telling him, I got it covered. That was written for our admonition. Amen. So we've got to realize, church, that even though we have to put out this effort to get in that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, to begin to flow in these things, think of the effort He put out. Think of the price He paid. And I heard this years ago, I thought it was still one of the greatest statements that they made about a life of faith. With the same effort that you live in sin, unbelief, doubt, pain, and fear, with the same effort, you can be living in faith, peace, joy, righteousness. Amen? With the same effort. You're using your words for something. It's amazing how people they'll talk about confession. Say, I don't believe that, name it and claim it. But they'll say things about their car, about their clothes, about their dog, about their wife. And then when it comes to pass, they're like, well, I've been saying that all my life. I mean, you know. Because it's a human law. You'll have what you say. But then you take something that somebody else says, like the Word of God, that has the ability to convince you of its reality, no matter what reality says, the Word of God says, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm greater, and I'm more real. And you let that Word convince you, I guarantee you're going to be an overcomer. Yes, I'll say that. It talked about being hardened. Hebrews, you read a little further, it says, now the deceitfulness of sin, so what is sin? Unbelief, will harden you. Now, this is what I've noticed in teaching the Word all these years and dealing with people. The hardness comes in the ability to respond to what's being spoken. If somebody is having a problem with their physical hearing, what do we call them? We call them hard of hearing. It's because their hearing processes have been depleted by, I don't know, a disease or an accident or something, so they don't hear as well or they don't hear anything at all. Now, the same thing is true. The more you fight the will of God, and there is an opposition to it in you. It's built into your flesh and mind. And the more you empower your mind, and the more you empower your flesh to fight the will of God. Why isn't the church full tonight? Because of people's flesh. Yeah. Period. Flesh will tell you you're too tired, you're too busy, you're too this, you're too that. And then others are because of their soul. You don't really need it. Everything's okay. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But in reality, if you've got a heart for God, you want to be where God is. If there's any place God is in a greater measure than He is in your life all the time, you want to be there. Yeah. I said, you want to be there. That's why Lee and I, when we were on the road, we'd go to meetings. We'd go to other preachers' meetings all the time. We would schedule meetings to be in Brother Hagin's Holy Ghost meetings. You say, why would you do that? Because they were Holy Ghost meetings. Amen. I mean, some of y'all ought to go on the internet and type in, what is it, when the Spirit gets a moving. Oh, it is one of the coolest videos you can watch. Have y'all watched that? Oh, you got to type in Kenneth E. Hagin, these guys, they're dressed to the nines, huge church, thousands of people, and they're dignified, worshiping God, having this wonderful, and then the Holy Ghost falls. And you thought, oh my God, I mean, 20,000 people just can't hardly walk. I mean, it's glorious. It's glorious. We lived in those meetings. You say, why? Because we were trying to absorb and let something saturate us. And today, we still live off some of the glory of that. You say, why? Because glory doesn't get depleted with its use. Don't let sin harden you. Because what happens is, unbelief pulls you back into the world system where you're subject to the attack of the devil. Next thing you know, a financial, an attack against your marriage, a physical attack, and you can't what? What do I do? What do I do? And God's over here yelling, go back to church, pray, tithe, all that. He's scared. You can say, what? That's where God has given you forgiveness. 1 John, if you confess your sin, He's able to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then He'll do what? This is where I wanted to get to tonight. Thank you for reminding me. He'll give you another chance. Some of you in here tonight need another chance at obedience. Because in your disobedience, you've been hardened. And you really need to hear from God right now. Some of you really need to hear a word from God. And I'm not talking about a prophecy. I'm not talking about some supernatural or some sensational event that would get some. I'm talking about God speak to you personally in your heart. His comfort, His peace, that which He wants to impart to you that's going to get you out of what you're going through so you don't have to build a tent in the valley of the shadow of death. You can get out of that valley and get on up, going up the hillside again. Amen. Praise God. Frank, go to the keyboard if you will. So we'll just do it like this. Everybody bow your head. And if that's you, you say, Pastor, that's me. I just need another chance. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But while I pray, I want you to just under your breath or in your heart, pray. Lord, I'm going to take that chance. If you give me another chance, I'm going to take it. That preacher says, you've given me another chance. You told me what to do. I didn't do it. I've been hard ever since. But I'm going to do it, Lord. If you'll tenderize my heart tonight, if you'll take my hardened heart, and if you'll put your hands of healing around my heart and break off the stone and turn it to flesh again so that I can hear your voice, I'll receive it tonight. So, Father, we thank you for 1 John. You said if we confess our sin, you would cleanse us of all sin and unrighteousness and restore us. So, Father, we just confess the sin of unbelief, the fear of entering into the will of God. Lord, give us another chance. Whatever it was, if it was in our finances, our marriage, our health, or if it was the will of God for our life, Lord, stepping out, obeying you, I bind that fear. I know what that's like. I bind that in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of fear, I remind you of what the Word says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Father, this is a church of courage, of bravery, of men and women that dare go to the world, dare speak the Word of God in the midst of some of the most surreal circumstances. So we ask for your mercy tonight to restore us back to the place of grace on that path of righteousness. And then, Lord, be that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, and restore everything. We thank you for it, Father. We believe we receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Stand on your feet. Father, thank you so much. Lord, as we leave tonight, thank you for your protection and your safety. We declare Psalms 91, no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh our dwelling. We declare angels have charge over us. Thank you, Father, in our travels on the highways, airways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel. Lord, yes, in the holiday season, people will travel for recreation, for sport. We thank you that there's protection, there's safety. Your grace is upon us. Lord, as we leave tonight, thank you, Father, you continue to open doors and ignite our spirit man, that the spirit of harvest is in us, that every day we're sowing seed, telling people about the goodness of God, revealing His nature in our love walk, being the men and women of God you've called us to be. Thank you for evangelism in our hearts. We leave tonight walking in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We leave tonight walking in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the Word, anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.